Usually when I prepare a drasha, or what is known as a sermon, certainly hopefully a sleepless sermon, I usually look for a Dvar Torah which inspires me, and then based on that Dvar Torah, I find some kind of story or anecdote which I can share that demonstrates the reality of that Dvar Torah, makes it what we call a living Torah. All of you should listen carefully because I'm giving away the secrets of why this is called a sleepless sermon, or what makes my sermons sleepless, which I'll never be able to determine considering that I am not speaking to an audience but rather to a microphone. But this week in preparing the sleepless sermon, I found that I wanted to prepare in a different way. And the reason why is because there was an experience that I had, which I said to myself that I must share with the listeners of this program. And in truth, I said to myself, I have to share it with the people around me. And I continue to do so. And I said to myself at the same time, that in sharing this experience, undoubtedly I'll be able to afterwards find a Dvar Torah which would be fitting for this particular experiential story. And I did. I have a student of mine from about 16 years ago who I taught in the Yeshiva B'nai Akiva Chadera in Eretz Yisrael. I used to teach a group of Russian boys. It was one of the first aliyahs from Russia many years ago. And from the former FSU, these Russians arrived off the boat, and many of them certainly were not religious. Many of them, in fact, were what we would describe as anti-religious. Well, I was blessed with having a large group of them, and I was given the duty of being in charge and being their rav, their rabbi, in the yeshiva. They came to the yeshiva, obviously not because they were religious, but because they were being offered a very low tuition, if not gratis, and they were being offered a very high level of limudei chol, of secular studies, in which they'd be able to further their careers as a result. One of the students that I had, his name was Igor. Igor is a very skeptical young man, what would be described at that time certainly as being hostile towards religiosity, and he would not be willing to succumb towards religious practice. Very often he was not willing to listen or to hear the religious explanations of what we or how we or why we go through the traditional forms and fashions of religious practice, of halacha. But in the end, based on a system of discipline, which I instilled in the classroom and in my relationship with my students, eventually there evolved a relationship based on respect. And though we chose to agree to disagree, nonetheless what emerged was a tremendous amount of admiration. He began to admire, after being his rabbi, his rebbe, for 2 years, he began to admire my sincerity towards religion, and I began to admire the fact that he started to admire my sincerity towards religion. Well, years later, we remained in touch for many, many years during the course of this entire time, and I began to see myself as his link, as his exclusive and only link towards hope for some understanding, some appreciation for religiosity, or for Judaism, for that matter, in the future. And therefore I decided that it would make efforts to be in touch with him, to be friendly with him, and to nurture this relationship. Well, Baruch Hashem, over the years, Igor got married, I was the one who married him off, the kosher chuppah and kiddushin. Eventually he had a daughter, then he had a son. I was there, certainly as a rabbinic personality, at the brit of his son. And he would call me regularly. He certainly started to call me before every Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. He would wish me a Shana Tova. And then the calls started to become more regular. And it wasn't only once a year before Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, He started to call me once a month. And I noticed as he started to call me more often that slowly he started to ask me questions about the Torah. And he revealed to me, in his skeptical fashion, very hesitantly, that you know what? He said to me, he started to review the Torah itself. It's certainly a tremendous amount of value from a historical, a cultural perspective. And he decided that he was going to read from Bereshit on. Igor is a very, very intelligent young man. It's a tremendous amount of investigative nature. He could be provocative, but at the same time, he's highly intelligent. And he would call me every once in a while to ask me questions. And I noticed when he'd ask me these questions in Bereshit that he didn't get much further than Perek Aleph, the first Perek, or the second Perek of Bereshit, because there were many questions that bothered him. And he refused to continue studying the Torah until these questions were dealt with, answered, and on the table. And so he would call me. Now it started to be a call once every 2 weeks. Last Sukkot, Igor sat with me in my Sukkah. He came to visit. And he told me that he had decided that his daughter, who at the time is now 6 years old, next year she's going into Kita Aleph, first grade, he decided that he's going to send her to a religious dati school. Why? He said to me, because today in Eretz Yisrael, the only place where there is hope of instilling and nurturing ideology, the only place, said Igor, where children can learn the concept of Derech Eretz is from the Torah, is from a religious background and a religious upbringing. And therefore he asked me, could you look into a good religious school in my area? He lives in Cholon near Tel Aviv. Find a good religious school that would be suitable for my daughter. Last week, I got a call on Monday. Igor's father had been ill for quite some time, and unfortunately his father died on Shabbat. The Levaya was on Sunday, but Igor didn't let me know because he said that obviously he wasn't going to call me on Shabbat, even though he himself would use the phone. He respected the fact that he certainly wouldn't call me on Shabbat, and he knew that I wouldn't answer. And then with the entire tumult on Sunday, with the preparations and the Levaya, he didn't have time to tell me. It was until Monday, his first day or second day of Shiva, that he called me and let me know that his father passed on. Sure enough, I went out there to Akko, the north of Israel. I went to see his family, he, his brother, and his mother, sitting Shiva, and I was bombarded by Igor with many, many questions in halacha. How am I supposed to do this? Am I allowed to do this? What are the customs? What is accepted? What is not accepted within the realm of halacha with regards to avela, to mourning? And then he started to tell me, you know, Rabbi, he said, I decided that I'm going to wear a kippah for the next 12 months as I sit as an ovel. During this year period, and I reflect upon what my father taught me and what he attempted us to appreciate, even by the very fact that he himself was not religious, but that he sent us to a yeshiva, and that he always encouraged my relationship with you, I'm going to wear a kippah out of respect for what that represents. And then he went on to inform me that he is a policeman. He goes every day in the police headquarters. Every day on the fourth floor of the police station, there's a Beit Knesset, a shul. And he goes up there every day to put on tefillin in the morning before he goes to work. As a matter of fact, he told me when he goes into the elevator with his fellow chevra, his other policemen, he said he has to kind of lie to them why he's going up to the fourth floor. He doesn't want them, heaven forfend, to believe that he's going up there to daven. But nonetheless, he makes his journey on his own up to the fourth floor of the police station, and he dons his tefillin, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. particularly when he was davening for the sake of his father's refuah. And now, he says, he certainly will reveal the fact that he's going to Minyan, both in the morning and the afternoon, to say Kaddish for the departed soul of his father, Alav HaShalom. Then he informed me, he started asking me questions in Avelut in mourning about shaving. And he told me that in Mirtz Hashem, after the period of Shaloshim, the 30 days of Avelut, in which one is not permitted to shave, after those 30 days, he said, I'm going to be shaving only with an electric shaver. And I told him, I said, Igor, that's kol hakavod, that's fantastic. You're going to be halachically acceptable and to shave only with an electric razor. But I said to him, you should know that you can still use a razor blade for the bottom part of your neck. And he said to me, he said, you know what, Kvod Arav, better I shouldn't use a blade at all. I don't want to be tempted. If I use the blade for the bottom part of my neck, I don't ever want to go back to using it again for other parts of my face. And therefore I'm going to get rid of it altogether. Igor could not imagine the happiness, the jubilation that filled inside of me as I heard what he was describing. Here is a young man who came off the boat from FSU, someone who would not be willing to recognize the value of what the Torah has to offer. And he's telling me the concept of Chachamim Amru Asay Siyag LaTorah. A person has to build boundaries, parameters, to assure that holiness, that spirituality remains intact. And he, as my Talmud, is reminding me of that very essential foundation. What a tremendous awakening I had at that moment. But the crescendo of the entire story was that finally, upon departing from one another, he walked me out of the house of Shiva to my car. And he said to me, you know, he said, what's most frightening in this country in Eretz Israel? He said, I drive around with my fellow policemen, and we see streets. And one of the streets, it says, Rechov Yefet. And I say to them, do you know who Yefet was? And they don't have a clue, he says. These are Israeli policemen, and they don't know who he is. He said, but I know, because I study the Torah. Yefet, the son of Noach. He says, I drive in the street and we see a street sign. It says, Rechov Stern. He says, do you guys know who that was? And they say, no, we have no idea. They don't even know that Stern was the head of the Stern gang from Etzel to help free the Jewish people from the British mandate. Even the history is something which they no longer recall, he says to me. He says, what makes me most frightened in this country is that we should never get to a matzav, a situation where our fellow brethren, our fellow Jewish Israelis are forgetting not only the Torah, but our history and what makes us and gives us the strength and the right to be called Am Yisrael. And I said to myself, Rabotai, we chose to agree to disagree, but finally Igor and I are on the same plane. There are so many things with which we agree about. And I share this story with you because to me it demonstrated a tremendous message. The message that a person never has the right to give up, to raise his hands in defeat. We always have to maintain a kesher. And God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, was fortunate, or was kind enough, I should say, and I was fortunate enough, to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow me to see the fruits of that unwillingness to despair. We never have the right to give up on the human spirit. We never have the right to give up on a fellow Yid, on a fellow Jew, regardless of how far removed that Jew might appear to us. Because who knows? Me'ayin yavo ezri. Who knows where the salvation will come from? Who knows how many years, how much time it takes for us to nurture and to continue to further a relationship for the sake of coming to that basic platform, for the sake of arriving at something that finally two people agree upon. That is so powerful. That is so essential to what allows us to thrive as a Jewish people. The concept of tshuva, the concept of repentance. Shuvu bonim shovavim. Powerful concept that is so inspirational for the source of Am Yisrael. One of the main paradoxes that is discussed in this week's parsha by many of the mefarshim. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael vayomer aleihem eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam. Moshe Rabbeinu now embarks upon repeating once again all of the instructions and all of their fine, minute details with regards to the construction of the Mishkan and the Klei HaMishkan, the utensils that would fill the tabernacle. And all of the Mefarshim discuss, why is it necessary? Why repeat it again? We just dedicated and went through so many Parshiot, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa, discussing the Mishkan and its utensils, and now Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell Am Yisrael again? What's going on here? The Ramban addresses this question and he says as follows at the beginning of the Parsha. Ve'amar likulam inyan ha-mishkan asher nitzdabebo mitchila kodem shebor alichot. Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the issues, the concept of the Mishkan after he had already told Bnei Yisrael prior to the destruction of the Luchot, after Moshe witnessed Rachmana Litzlan the Cheta Egel. Kivan shenitratze lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu venatan lo aluchot ashniyot vekarati mo brit chadasha. Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Bnei Yisrael, was appeased by Moshe's tefillah not to destroy them, and he provides them with the second set of luchot, and he ties with Bnei Yisrael the covenant, a new brit, she'elech Hashem bekirbam, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would surely walk, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, would be found amongst the inner part of Am Yisrael. Hine, says the Ramban, Chazar lekadmutam ulahavat kelulotam. In this way, Bnei Yisrael returned. Shuvu, they go back to the original great status by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraced them with all of His divinity, His spirit, and with all of His devotion. Ubiyadua shetiye shchinato bitocham. Moshe Rabbeinu repeats all of the instructions, all of the directives, says the Ramban, to demonstrate to Am Yisrael that indeed the Shekhinah was with them, continues, and will continue to be inside of them. Just as we were originally instructed, ve'asuli mikdash ve'shachanti betocham, ve'lachein tziva otam Moshe ata. Therefore Moshe once again repeats the directives of the Mishkan, bechol ma shenitztaveh mitchila, just as he had done originally. Why? As we have mentioned many times, Rabotai, the Mishkan represents the edifice by which Klal Yisrael can focus their energies, their devotion and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what the Torah and the Shekhinah represent. If that is what the Mishkan represents, then it needs to be repeated. Then B'nai Yisrael, after they rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Chet HaEgel, need to be reminded that the relationship remains the same. They might have just embarked from the boats of the FSU. B'nai Yisrael might have come out with a statement that they are anti-dati, that they do not practice or believe in religious establishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going anywhere. I'll wait for you. We still have that rapport and relationship based on respect and admiration. Because one day, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll come back and you'll tell me that indeed it is important to instill ideology and religious value into your lives. The tour comments on this of the Ramban, Elakivan shechatu b'egel, since Bnei Yisrael sinned with the egel azahav, nistalka me'aleihem ha'shechina. The Shechina kiviyachol left the presence of Am Yisrael. V'kivan shemachal lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chazra ha'shechina l'shechot b'neihem. And since now HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again forgave Bnei Yisrael, returned to be within their presence, Tzivam ala mishkan shenitztavu bo kvar. These tzivuyim, this new repetition of the commandments of the Mishkan in Parshiot Vayakel Pekudei was the brit, is not a repetitive instruction, but rather it's a new covenant by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaffirms, reestablishes, and rejuvenates a relationship that would never be diminished. The relationship that he has with Am Yisrael. The concept of tshuva, the concept of being able to return and reignite, is so powerful. And I have to say, Rabotai, that this not only shows and demonstrates the Ramban and the Tur, the concept of tshuva, but it is meant, in my opinion, to demonstrate to us that we, Bnei Yisrael, do not have the right to be self-defeatist. We ourselves certainly cannot be self-defeatist amongst ourselves, and how much more so, we cannot be self-defeatist with regards to our fellow brethren. Because we never know. Me'ayin yavo ezri. Kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel and offers him another Am, a new beginning. Goy Chadash, Moshe, come, and you'll still be the leader. But let's get a new people, a people with a fresh spirit. The people who will not be easily persuaded. Moshe refuses. That refusal of Moshe Rabbeinu was a statement of relentlessness of the human spirit. Moshe says, I will not give up. I'm not willing to break this relationship. I will persist based on an understanding, based on patience and devotion, compassion and sensitivity, until I ensure that once again this special relationship is reestablished. This past week I learned a fascinating Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Zayin Amar Aleph says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, V'kulan shechazru bahen, ein mekablin otan olamit, Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim learn that all those people, Jews, who step forward and say that they committed sins which make them pasul le'edut, sins which make them unkempt, unacceptable with regards to testimony, when they come out and they say that they did these sins, they're not believed. Ein mekablin otan, says Rabbi Meir. We never accept them in return. to be kosher le'edut. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Im chazru bahen ben matmoniut, ein mekablen otan. If indeed they only return to their ways in private, then we don't accept them as witnesses in the future. Befarhesya mekablen otan. However, if they publicly degrade, if they publicly explain and exclaim that they were wrong, then indeed we accept them in return. Why? Privately, a person may be tempted. But if he does so publicly and he attempts to demonstrate that he's not interested in returning to these sins, then we can accept him in return. Because clearly, publicly, it means something to him. He's trying his best. Ika de Omri, there are those who say, however, Asu divreyem bimatmoniot, if they did their sins privately, mekablinotan, then we accept them in return. Befarhesya ein mekablinotan. Just the opposite. If they sinned publicly, then we do not accept them. Why? If they have the gall, the audacity to sin in public, that means they have no conscience whatsoever. And therefore, according to this opinion, we can never accept them in return to serve as kosher eidim. Rabbi Shimon ve Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha omrim. However, Rabotai says the Gemara, the final opinion is that of the Zug, the two opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who say as follows, Ben kach u ben kach mekablin. Regardless of what situation a person finds himself, be it in private or in public, committing sins, either way, we always accept them to return. Shenemar shuvu bonim shovevim. Shovevim, my sons who were troublemakers, says Rashi, mizidim befarhesia, who might be outright rebellers and demonstrate a forthright rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu publicly. Shuvu bonim, my sons can always return. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ish kvar ako, says Rabbi Yitzchak, the man who established his presence where? In Akko. Interestingly enough, the same place where my student Igor was sitting Shiva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan hilchata keoto hazug. The halacha indeed is like that of the opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Ben kach u ben kach mekablin. Either way, regardless of a person's behavior, be it in private or in public, he can always return. Shneemar shuvu bonim shovevim. And perhaps, Rabotai, this is a lesson not only to us as a people, but perhaps it is a lesson to us regarding challenges as well. As frightening as it appears in the global economic recession that we are all feeling and that we're all experiencing in some form or fashion, it's important for us as Jewish people to remember Shuvu Bonim Shovevim. Our resilience protrudes and reveals itself based on that fact that our human spirit ultimately prevails. HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us the ability, even after a Chet HaEgel, to appreciate the value of Vayakel Moshe et Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, the value of being part of Kehilat Yisrael, this great congregation known as B'nei Yisrael. That in itself, Emirtz Hashem, should provide us with the strength to overcome and should guide us with the inner spirit that is represented in the name that we carry and in the attributes which allow us to be called Kehilat Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom.